Thich Nhat Hanh, who all of you know, I'm sure, the great Buddhist monk and spiritual teacher, famously invited his students to meditate upon a tangerine. He suggested that when you are offered a freshly picked tangerine, the level of your enjoyment will depend on the level of your mindfulness. One day, he says, I offered a number of children a basket filled with tangerines. The basket was passed around, and each child took one tangerine and put it in their palm. We each looked at our tangerine, and the children were invited to meditate on its origins. They saw not only their tangerine, but its mother, the tangerine tree. With some guidance, they began to visualize the blossoms on the tree in the sunshine and the rain. They saw petals falling and the tiny fruit appear. The sunshine and the rain continued, and the tangerine grew. Now someone has picked it, and the tangerine is here. After seeing this, each child was invited to peel the tangerine slowly, noticing the mist and the fragrance, and then bring it up to their mouth and have one mindful bite, in full awareness of the texture of the fruit and the juice coming out. We ate slowly like that. Urging his students of all ages to follow the children in this way of eating a tangerine, Thich Nhat Hanh goes on to say, each time you look at a tangerine, you can see deeply into it. You can see everything in the universe in one tangerine. When you peel it and smell it, it is wonderful. You can take your time eating a tangerine and be purely happy. So why do I tell this story today? I tell it because our gospel, talking about Jesus as the bread of life, is really a portrait of the early church's love for the Eucharist, this gift that at every Mass is food for our spirits, the gift that's at the center of our faith. And just as having in their minds a sense of the past and the present and the future to which this current bite of tangerine is connected helped the children savor it all the more, and holding in their hearts the many people near and far somehow connected to them through that little taste, that morsel, deepens their love and their sense of how profound it is to eat of it, the same thing I think is true of the Eucharist, the bread and the wine, that like the tangerine are so much more than themselves. So pardon me for being a little priestly today. My hope isn't to give you answers. The Eucharist isn't an argument. It isn't a thesis. It isn't a statement. It's a gift and a mystery, which can never be encapsulated. The more meanings we find, the more there are. So there's no one right understanding or definition. But as one of your priests, as somebody whose profound privilege it is to celebrate Mass nearly every day and to lift up your prayers and your worries and your lives alongside the gifts, my hope is just to give you some images that maybe you can hold in your imagination. Hold them lightly as the children held the impressions of the tangerine and its many layers of possible meaning. So a little mindfulness exercise so that we all can taste in an attentive way this astonishing gift. Eucharist means thanksgiving. When we come forward in these lines every Sunday, we might not know what it is we receive or even what we're hoping to receive exactly. And yet, above all, I know we all share this. We all come with thankfulness that God gives himself to us, that God wants to dwell in us and make herself a part of us. What an amazing thing right there. We come having offered ourselves alongside the gifts. And this is really important. We do this at every consecration. We offer ourselves just as we are. And we don't have to be on our best behavior. We don't have to be having a good day. You can be carrying with you sorrow or grief, anger, confusion, envy or jealousy, or something about yourself that you sit a little uneasily with, some imperfection that pains you. and it's all accepted, along with the gifts that we lift up at the table. If you listen to Elijah in the first reading, he is surly and disquieted, and God feeds him anyway. All our broken pieces are lifted up to God along with the broken bread. Our life is lifted up along with the wine that represents Jesus' life. Pour it out. We pour ourselves out, and we are transformed somehow by this higher power greater than ourselves. So at every Mass, we witness that all of creation can be changed, in fact, because you can also see the entire cosmos in the elements up here, the water and the sunshine, dirt and stars, everything's here. And we are saying every Mass that we believe that this whole wounded earth and this whole life can be transformed by God. And we lift up our hearts believing that this world is holy and can be blessed and made to shine. And again, it's important that all of us are part of this. At the previous two Masses over at our other building, people actually bring forward the offertory gifts down the aisle, and then the priests have to carry them up a couple steps onto the altar. And at the Mass earlier this morning, people noticed, as you might have, that I am the only priest here today, and so they saw that I wasn't going to have enough hands, and immediately several people came forward and helped bring the gifts all the way to the altar, and I thought, this really expresses something true. It takes all of us. All of us have to bring ourselves up to the altar. Like Thich Nhat Hanh's tangerine, we feel the future and the past tied to us at the table. We have this vision of the future, the heavenly banquet, Jesus' favorite image to picture God's dream for the world. And we're called to move toward that, building a world like that, where there's no poverty, where everyone's included, where no one goes hungry. So every Eucharist is a mandate for social justice. We're also transported so that we stand in that long ago moment when Jesus spoke words of blessing over the bread and the wine at the Last Supper, and we feel him present again in a special way. His servant's heart, his sacrificial life. He lives with us and in us always, but in that moment, his actions happen again in a way that really strikes us as we're called to that covenant of forgiveness and service and nonviolence that he brought to us. Similarly, we know the Holy Spirit's always with us, but she's especially energizing during this time. We know that all the transformation of our life and the world happens through her. And as we stand in line, we know that we're standing with all of humanity, all the people around us here, but also people across vast distances, people who have gone ahead of us, people yet to come, people who haven't been born. And this bridges every divide, this table. Even heaven and earth aren't divided, and communion reminds us of it. We stand here with people whose beliefs and faith and politics and theology and culture and economic status and life circumstances might be totally different from ours, but we all share in one bread. And this is why nobody gets a separate cup, like a personalized, individualized cup. We're saying that life is about we, not me. We're all one, and then we spend the rest of our week trying to live our lives accordingly. The bread and the wine feed our spirits. They're food for our soul. We know we can't live by material things only. So this heavenly food strengthens us and energizes us inside. And as we take it in, we're taking in God's own self, Jesus' love and grace and kindness. We become what we eat. His life grows in us, and we're divinized. And we're filled with his healing and forgiveness. We remember how just the slightest touch from him was enough when the woman in the crowd reached out. All she had to do was graze the edge of his cloak. And it's the same with us. This small touch, this small morsel, just fills us with God's mercy. I have to confess, I love something St. Augustine said. We don't quote him in a positive way very often around here, but even he had his moments. He reminded his flock that when someone places in their hand the piece of bread, the cup of wine, juice, and says, the body of Christ, this is a statement not just about the bread, but about the person. What we receive is what we are. We are the body of Christ, his hands and feet bringing compassion out into the world. So every Sunday or every day, as the case may be, we get this beautiful reminder, hopefully not just to hear it, but to have it live in ourselves. As Elijah was strengthened with heavenly food, so are we. When we're tired or depressed, as he was, or anxious, when we feel that we don't know where our life is going or what our actions have amounted to, we come to this table and our spirits revive as we take food for the journey. St. Paul in the second reading says, let all bitterness, fury, anger, shouting, reviling be removed from you along with any malice, and be kind to one another, compassionate and forgiving. These are the qualities that flow into us through communion as we become one with Christ, as he fills us with himself, so we can live in love, as Ephesians says, so we can give ourselves for the life of the world just as he did. The fulfillment of communion is a life of love. If coming to this table doesn't lead us to that, we haven't truly taken in the fullness of the gift. When Jesus left this for his disciples, he wasn't giving them a theology. He wasn't giving them a creed. He wasn't giving them a set of dogmas or a set of ethical statements. He was giving them a person, himself. He was giving them a relationship. Faith is about a lot more than statements of what we believe. It's about the mysteries we surrender to and the person who dwells at the center of our life. So my own prayer is that coming forward in the communion line is a falling in love. No matter what you believe or doubt, no matter what words you would use to put around your particular beliefs or doubts, I just pray that we're open to the possibility of being changed by what we do here, open to whatever God might wish to do through us as we're filled with the presence of Christ. And his presence here should awaken us to his presence everywhere, in the stranger, in the poor, in the cosmos, in the eyes of the person next to us in church. Gerard Manley Hopkins said, Christ plays in 10,000 places. We just need to have our eyes opened periodically to recall that fact. And this is what the Eucharist does. It opens the eyes of our heart. Isn't this the meaning of that sort of surprising line from the Psalms? Taste and see. So today it will happen once again. Everybody's welcome at God's family table, no matter who you are, no matter what is going on in your life right now. You always have a place here. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord.